This sermon by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, December 31st, 2006, and is entitled Walking by Faith, taken from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4.
Father, I pray that as we come to your word this morning that you would open it to us. I pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take the truth of your word and apply it to our heart. Father, as you speak, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us the courage and boldness to believe, to trust, and to act upon the word that you reveal to us today. Father, as you speak, may we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The kind of thing you just can't believe. You're still not really sure what happened. Out of the blue, out of nowhere, you knew absolutely nothing about it. Your boss just said when you came in that day, by the way, today's your last day. We're closing the shop this afternoon. You didn't see it coming. I mean, yeah, you look back and you say, I should have noticed. There were signs along the way, but you weren't expecting it. You weren't looking for it, and so you didn't see those little signs along the way. If you had known, if they had given you some kind of warning, surely you would have done something. You would have made some kind of preparation. You would have put a little bit of money back. You would have scaled down there in the last few weeks. You would have done some things because what are you going to do now? You've got a mortgage. You've got a car payment. You've got insurance. You've got those kids to raise. You've got food, everything. How are you going to survive? Maybe yours didn't come that way. Maybe yours came when the phone rang and you picked up the phone and answered it and said, hello, and they said, yes, this is the doctor's office. Wanted you to know that test was not good. It is cancer. And we need to see you right away. We're making an appointment as quick as we can with the specialist, but we need to see you right away. Maybe it came to you in another way, but there were those times that happened. Maybe you get a phone call and you never would have dreamed it. But that loved one is gone. It was an accident. Maybe some chaplain came and knocked on your door in the middle of the night to tell you your loved one's never coming home again. Doesn't really matter how it happens, but when it happens and you have the wind knocked out of you, you find yourself flat on your back, what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to proceed? How are you supposed to live in that dark moment of your life when your whole world has come crashing down around you? What are you supposed to do when your world, as you know it, is shattered? What do you do when all hell breaks loose in your life? You're at that darkest moment. You're at that lowest point in your life. And you know that time. It's when well-meaning friends come along, and they are well-meaning, and they mean to help you, and they say things to you like, well, look, I know it's bad, but you just got to believe. You just got to trust the Lord. It's going to get better. Now, you know they mean well, and you really know they're right, but it doesn't change the fact you want to punch them in the nose. What do you do when life is at its worst? How are you supposed to proceed when everything you know has been changed? Now, we're called to live by faith, and we know that. And the fact is, that's really easy to say when everything's going well. It's really easy to say, I'm just going to trust the Lord and I'll live by faith. That's real easy when the job is secure and there's money in the bank and the bills are paid and you've got your health and all is right in your little world. It's really easy to say, well, you know, I'm just trusting the Lord. But what do you do when you're trusting the Lord and everything's going wrong? How do you continue to walk by faith when your faith has been shaken? Your back is against the wall, and those little phrases like trust the Lord and lean on the Lord just ring kind of hollow. Oh, you know it's true, but you're having trouble believing that right now. How do you continue to walk by faith? You turn on the television, the radio, and you'll hear some preacher telling you to exercise your faith. He tells you that if you can see it, you can make it happen. If you just speak faith-filled words, then everything's going to be all right. But what happens when you're having trouble working up your faith? What happens when you're not able to believe? How do you continue to walk by faith? What does it mean to walk by faith? Is it like positive thinking? Is it possibility thinking? Is it simply a matter that, well, I'm going to believe everything is okay. I'm just going to believe everything is all right, and I'm going to continue to do that. I'm going to visualize it. I'm going to make it happen. Is that walking by faith? What does it mean for us as the people of God to walk by faith? Our text this morning is found in Genesis chapter 12. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It has to do with the call of Abram, the father of faith, the poster child for walking by faith. And as we look at his call, we're going to learn some things about how we are to walk by faith in a biblical way. Now, we know that an entire movement has emerged, the faith movement, with faith teachers, and they abound. The problem is, I think their message is wrong. And I believe their message is wrong because the emphasis of the message is misguided. Because if you listen carefully to the faith teachers and the faith movement, it is a man-centered, man-oriented way of thinking. It has to do with me exercising my faith. It has to do with me exercising my power to believe and my power to trust. And it really is focused on me. That faith is a power that we exercise. That faith is a force at work in us, when I believe the biblical notion is not about a power, an influence, something we exercise. But biblical faith has to do with confidence and trust in the God who is. I don't make things happen because I believe it. I trust in God. I put my confidence in Him. Faith, biblically, is not about my power to believe. It is about the power of the one in whom I believe. In other words, the biblical emphasis is not on my power to believe, but on the object of my belief. It is my trust in God. It is my reliance upon Him. It is my confidence in Him. Therefore, faith is the most natural and the most unnatural thing. It is natural to have faith. You exercise faith every day in hundreds of ways. Have you ever met someone for lunch? Have you ever made a plan and said, we're going to meet Thursday, 1 o'clock for lunch? Ever done that in your life? You were exercising faith. You showed up at the appropriate time, at the appropriate place, believing that person was going to be there. Right? You acted on faith based on that person's word. It's natural. You do it every day. You ever fly? Well, today you're really exercising faith when you fly. When you fly, you're exercising your faith. You're trusting in, you're relying upon the maintenance mechanics, the pilot, the air traffic controller, the security people. You're really exercising some faith to fly on a plane. Every day, you act in faith. You take somebody's word for it, and you do something based on their word, based on their promise, based on the fact that's what they are supposed to do. You do it every day. But at the same time, faith, from a biblical perspective, is the most unnatural thing in the world. Because you're acting on the word, the character, and the person of someone who's totally different from you. You're acting on the word of someone who's not like you at all, who's very different. Now, he has revealed himself as worthy of your trust. He's more trustworthy than anybody else you ever act upon. But it is different because I can't touch him. I can't see him with my physical eye. Faith. Biblical faith is my trust and reliance on a God I cannot see, fulfilling a word he has given. That's not natural to us. How do we walk by faith? Let's look. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went. He went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country, to the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Faith. Walking by faith. Exercising faith. As we look at Abram's life, here's what we learn. The life of faith exhibits absolute trust and confidence in the person and the Word of God. The easiest way I can explain it, the easiest way I can set forth what it means to act in faith is it is an absolute trust and confidence in God's person and His Word. It's not my ability to believe. It isn't my working up. It isn't my power to stick with it. It is my confidence in God and His Word. That's easy to say. It's difficult to live. That's easy to grasp as far as the language and what the Word means. It is a profound truth that we'll spend the rest of our days exploring and understanding. Absolute trust and confidence in the person and the Word of God. Two things specifically I want to point out from our text. First of all, the life of faith defies its own reasoning and trusts God above its own understanding. Faith begins when I trust God above what I think, what I believe, what I understand. There was nothing in Abram to commend him to God. Nothing about his life. He hadn't done any great thing that we know of. He is from a family of idol worshippers, given the region he's living in and what's known of that region. And as we piece the story together, he is from an idolatrous family. He hadn't done anything. It's simply the fact that God looked down on this relatively unimpressive figure and said, "You know what? I think I'll use him." Genesis 12 and following is the story of Abram who became Abraham, but really it's not really that. Rather, it's the story of Abraham's God. That's the point of emphasis throughout. And that's certainly the point of emphasis here in this passage. Look again at those opening verses. the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Now, honestly, does that make sense to you? Why not leave him there? I mean, if God wants to do something great, if God wants to impact the world, why not start where apparently, because as he leaves, he takes his nephew's son and the possessions and even the people, the implication is he already is a fairly well-to-do man. He is well-known. He is prosperous. He is well thought of in the community's hand. Wouldn't it make more sense for God to do something there where he is and that influence he has? Wouldn't it seem more reasonable that God would say, Abram, give your heart to me, and I'm going to make you a godly man in the midst of these people that you have influence with, and we're going to change this whole culture? That's the way I would have done it. But there is a way that seems right to man. God said, Abram, let's put the whole picture together. God said, Abram, you don't know me, but I want to use you, so I want you to leave everything. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your job. I want to leave everything, and you come go with me, and I'm going to make you really great. Where are we going? I'll tell you when we get there. And he went. Does that seem reasonable? We can be honest this morning because it's just us. Would you have reacted that way? I'd be honest with you. I'd be saying, we need to flesh this out a little more. I mean, give me at least a region we're heading toward. When you say I'll make you great, just exactly define great for me. You're going to make me a great nation. In what way? Come, go with me. I'll make you great. I'll make your name great. He had to look beyond his ability to reason. He had to look beyond his understanding, what he thought, what he dreamed of, and consider the fact that he was 75 years old. Now, I'm not certain about this, so some of you have to help me out, but I think when you're 75, you're fairly settled in your ways. I think by the time you reach 75, you're pretty much who you're going to be. That's not a time for beginning a new adventure. Come, I'll make your name great. I'll make you a great nation. He's 75, his wife is 65. Oh, and they're barren. They have no children. I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation. He had to overcome a lot. Verse 4 says, so Abram went, as the Lord told him. The implication of that is he didn't think about it. He didn't mull it over. He didn't take a poll. He didn't sit down with the family. They didn't discuss it. God called. He obeyed. And he obeyed in spite of all the evidence to the contrary. That's what faith is all about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things that we have not yet seen. He trusted the God who called him. And according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, that was the hallmark of his entire life. Abraham believed God. Now, it's not reasonable, but it's not irrational. Because he's acting on the word of the sovereign Lord of everything that is. He's acting upon the word of the God who spoke the world into being, the God who runs the whole universe, the God who holds all things together by the power of his might. And there are those times when God calls and tells us to go. There are those times when God says, do it this way. Everything in us and everything around us, if we examine the evidence, says, no, not a good idea, not the way to do it. Do you remember when Jesus told the disciples it was time to go to Jerusalem? They gathered around and they said, Lord, not a good idea. This is not a good time. There's all kinds of talk. That crowd has been gunning for you for years. This is not the time to go. He says, no, you don't understand. It is the exact right time to go. You don't talk about unreasonable. If someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. What? I don't think so. No. Trust. Respond as I've called you to respond. Do what I told you to do. To walk by faith is a matter that you and I, rather than following our own agenda, you and I, rather than trusting on our great insight, our wisdom, our intellect, is that I'm going to trust God's person and His Word, and I will obey His command, even when it doesn't seem reasonable to me. That's what faith is. Trust and reliance on the person and the Word of the eternal God. So, when all hell breaks loose, when everything's gone wrong, when my health is in serious question, when there are all kinds of threats, God says, trust me. And faith says, I'll trust you. Now that's simple. But it's not easy. It's natural for you to do that considering who God is. It's unnatural because it cuts across the grain of everything you know. To walk by faith is simply to trust the person and the Word of God. To defy your own reason and to trust God above your own understanding. How do we do that? Brings us to the second thing I wanted to call to your attention. The life of faith clings tenaciously to the sovereign promise of God. Again, chapter 12 through chapter 25 is the story of Abraham, but more appropriately, it is the story of Abraham's God. If you look at verses 2 and 3, God promises seven things to Abraham. I will show you a land. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who dishonor you or who curse you. And I will bless the people of the earth through you. Seven specific promises that God gave to Abram. Now, do you notice anything about those promises? Is there anything that stands out in your mind as you read those two verses, as you read Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, is there anything that stands out? Here's what stands out in my thinking. Nowhere in there does God say, now, Abram, if you do this, I will do this. Instead, He said, Abram, I will do these seven things. They're unconditional. There are those things that the Lord tells us, now if you do this, I will do this. But in this case, He's promising seven things that have no condition tied to it at all. He simply says, I'm going to do it. And if you listen real carefully, I think you can hear the protest of Abram. I think if you listen carefully, you might hear Abram say, but now wait a minute, suppose I misunderstand. You're going to show me. What if I don't get it? What if I mess up? And God says, I will bless you. No, wait a minute, you don't understand. Suppose I do what you want me to do, but those who follow me don't. What if my descendants disobey? In fact, what if they go back to the ways of my ancestors? What if they fall into idolatry? What then? I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless the peoples of the earth through you. What if they crucify your son? I will bless you. A life of faith clings tenaciously to God's promise. Here's the glorious, wonderful thing about our God and the grace and mercy He extends to His people. We are who we are, and we are what we are by the grace of God. And here's what that means. Because it is a matter of His grace, because it is a matter of His sovereign choosing, I can't mess it up. I said earlier that I think the Word of Faith movement is wrong. One of the reasons I believe that is you'll find inherent in their teaching, if you don't do this, God can't. I don't find that in the Scripture at all. There are things that God says, I will do this. And to put it in language you and I understand, come hell or high water, He's going to do it. Because it is His eternal Word and His promise. There's great peace that comes to the heart of the believer when he understands God has promised certain things to us, and our failings will not stop it. Aren't you grateful for that? Would you want to live this life if it all depended on your ability to continue to believe? Would you have any confidence at all if God's continued hand on you and His blessing on your life and you're heading toward Him in glory depended on your ability to continue to believe and constantly trust? There are days I say, that's no problem. But there are days when I don't believe. And there are days, because of the circumstance of my life and what I'm going through, I don't want to believe. And aren't you glad that God's big enough to handle that? Aren't you glad that unlike you, and unlike me, our God isn't subject to temper tantrums? I have to be honest, you can make me really mad. And I can say, I'm taking my marbles and going home. I'm not playing with you anymore. But isn't it great to know God never says to His children, I'm taking my marbles and I'm going home. Cling tenaciously to His promise. But there is life and hope to all who come to Him by faith in the person of the Lord Jesus. That is an unconditional guarantee given by God Himself to all who will believe. And I rest in that. That He promised to provide for our needs according to His riches and glory. And by the way, it is significant. He said, according to His riches, not out of. Because it means in proportion to the glory that He has. If He just provided for us out of that, He could say, here's a little bit. But when He gives in proportion to, He dumps it on us. It's lavish. I will supply your needs. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you always. He who began the good work in you will bring it to completion. For those who believe in Him, to those who even believe on His name, He gives the right, the power, the privilege to become the children of God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is nothing that will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. All of that's unconditional. So no matter what happens, to walk by faith is to cling tenaciously to those words, to the character and the Word of God. Walking by faith. It's as natural as trusting in the loving, gracious, fatherly person of God. It's as unnatural as denying your impulse to do it your way. Faith. We are called to live by faith. Are you trusting Him? Will you rely on Him? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this opportunity to be in Your presence today. I am grateful that You have revealed Yourself to us as a great and mighty God who is powerful and majestic, so much so that He could speak and an entire universe comes into being. And yet He is a gracious, loving, compassionate Father who tenderly loves and cares for His children. Father, I pray that in the midst of all the voices that surround us today and all the kinds of teaching that we hear every day through the radio, the television, every place else, books that we read, that coming through all the noise would be the clear, distinct word from You. May we become a people of faith. A people who dare to believe and trust in the character and the Word of God. Whose belief acts upon that. Because You've spoken it, we do believe it. And it orders our lives accordingly. And we're heard not because of our many words, not because we have exercised great authority on our part, but in simple childlike faith, we've trusted in the God who said He would. Lord, grant us faith. It is Your gift to us, along with the person of Your Son. Father, teach us to be a people who walk by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Bulldogs and Piggies production, a serious podcast with a silly name. Find us on the web at www.pwhatcher.blogspot.com. Bulldogs and Piggies features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.